on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
27 to 11, we're going to find out what's been happening in the greyhound world. It was a big week last week, I know that for a fact. And Dave Carlson joins us. Morning, Dave.
Good morning to you, Sean. Yeah, it was a massive week. I was in Melbourne and having a fantastic time at the Australian Greyhound Racing Awards and indeed at Sandown. So I can't wait to be joined by our guests this week. They are Robert Britton, the trainer of the national distance champion Tornado Tears. Chrissy Hulse will be with us, the trainer of the national sprint champion West on Augie. And Max Rimmer, the trainer of blacktop finalist Patch Adam, is going to join us from up in the Hunter Valley. So a huge show coming up. Now, on Friday night just gone, Sandown in Melbourne was set alight by the best greyhounds from coast to coast and top to bottom with the Nationals, the Group 1 championships, which put state up against state. In the national distance final, the superstar Tornado Tears started the hot favourite from box 2.
Dinah Chancer won the jump, but Tornado Tears is quick to kick up underneath, and Rippin' Sam got a slight check onto the first turn. Poco Dorado went to fourth ahead of Velocity Lily. Third last is Moment to Jive ahead of Wimburn Lucifer, and last of all is Double G. Around to go, it's Dinah Chancer in front. Tornado Tears is two away. Rippin' Sam sticking on the outside, and the Victorians are four clear of Poco Dorado. Another 5 Moment to Jive, then Velocity Lily, Wimburn Lucifer and Double G, but Tornado Tears took the lead. Rippin' Sam's after him though. He's close enough to get his chance tonight. Tornado Tears and Rippin' Sam from Dinah Chancer, Poco Dorado. Rippin' Sam, Tornado Tears, Tornado Tears. He's too good. He beat Rippin' Sam. Poco Dorado has flashed home into third and fourth. Dinah Chancer next across.
Holy victory, Batman. Batman, as Tornado Tears is called. What a win to the son of Fernando Bale, who sired the trifecta. Tornado Tears was under siege coming off the back with his brother Rippin' Sam, as you heard Brendan Delaney call, and another Victorian, Dinah Chancer, on his case before not only digging deep but extending in the straight to score by just under 2.5 lengths in 41 and 45. Well, I tell you what, his trainer Robbie Britton moves just as quickly. He's already in the United States at his farm in Kansas, and he joins us. Rob, good morning to you. What a dominant, gutsy victory that was.
Yeah, Dave, look, it was a good win and a really good race, wasn't it? It was just a race from start to finish, and I think they're the type of races crowds come to see.
It was so exciting. It was absolutely exciting. I mean, I was on my feet. I think all the crowd were on their feet as well. And look, Rippin' Sam, who has a good record from box one, Rob, began a lot quicker than usual, and as we heard, was close up passing the post on the first occasion. What were you thinking at that stage?
Yeah, look, I just thought it would be a good race. Even at that stage and even up the back, I was still wasn't really sure who was going to win, because I felt that Rippin' Sam, as strong a finisher as he is, a couple of times he has gone out early, he probably can't really do it both ends. So he becomes more a Tornado Tears like runner when he does that. So that's why it made it such a ripper of a race, because coming for turns at home, you just didn't know who was going to win.
Yeah, well, Tornado Tears was being seriously challenged, and well, the greyhound just pulled out all stops. He actually extended in the straight.
He did. I think they came together on the home turn near the 500 boxes, and I just think it made Tornado Tears just pinch a length on Sam. So I think that was the difference between them on the night.
He was always going to start odds on in the final, Rob, and as they say, odds on, look on. Did that add any extra pressure to you?
Yeah, I think so. Normally I don't get too flustered about group racing, but I was under a little bit of pressure, because when they wind them into $1.40, well, all of a sudden you just hope like hell that everything goes right on the night. And this guy seems to be able to find a way, and he said, as I say, even though he was under pressure all the way, he pulled out all stops, so I probably had nothing to worry about.
Well, he's only had 26 starts. What is it, 6 from 6 over the Sandown 700. He already has a third Group 1 crown. I mean, who could have predicted that, Rob, when he joined your kennel only 6 months ago after being unplaced in a heat of the Paws of Thunder at Wentworth Park?
Yeah, look, Michael Ivers always had a massive opinion of the dog, and he said he's the best stay you'll ever had. Now, I hope Michael ends up being right, because so far he hasn't done anything wrong. So even though it was, this whole litter's showing the same thing. While they can sprint and sprint very quickly, they don't really find their legs until they go over the distance, because they just lack that 1 yard early in sprint races.
Well, congratulations to Michael on the New South Wales Central Coast. Tornado Tears, Rob, has won 17 of 26 starts. He's approaching $500,000 in prize money, and he is arguably the most popular greyhound in the land. When are we going to see him step out again?
I think the next race will be the Speed Star in the middle of September.
Okay.
There's not a lot on the program right at the moment. I do want a trial in between, so Sandown has suggested we trial he and Sand together. So I don't know. I'm going to find out today whether that's going to happen.
Okay.
So that'll make another interesting little exercise to see if they go head and head.
Well, Sunday, September 16, is the Speed Star at Sandown. That's going to be another fantastic evening of racing, late afternoon and evening. Now, Rob, Tornado Tears' first race for your kennel only a month before the great Fanta Bale ran her last race. As fate would have it, you received the perfect successor to Fanta, who also won last year's National Distance Championship.
Yeah, look, you've really got to pinch yourself to get a replacement as good as this bloke, because when you get a dog like Fanta Bale, you've been waiting for a dog like that all your lifetime. And for another dog to come along virtually as she retires, you've got to pinch yourself, really. So I'll take it, though.
Well, on Thursday night, Fanta Bale was named the Australian Greyhound of the Year for the second time. Miata is the only other chaser to win it twice. So what a 24 hours for you, Rob.
Yeah, it was. It was a whirlwind week last week. And as I said, I was sort of glad it's all over, but at the same time, it was very exciting.
Fanta Bale won a record $1.365 million in prize money, ran in 11 group finals in the past season, winning 7, including 4 group ones, with victory over the 5, the 6 and the 700 metres. Her owner is Brendan Wheeler, whose wife Nicole and her lovely daughter Sienna were there to accept the trophy. Robert, of Fanta Bale's wins, is there one that stands out for you?
Yeah, I think probably the Australian Cup, simply because she probably wasn't expected to get across from box 8, being like a staying type or a middle distance type, and to actually jump so well, get across against the elite dogs and beat them over the sprint distance. I talked myself out of it. I thought there's no way we can get across, but we used to always say with her, she'd always find a way.
Well, Rob, I mentioned you had a big 24 hours. It was actually 36, because Slingshot Hammer won the Group 3 Cranbourne Classic on Saturday night in 30 and 21 from Box 1. He was the fastest qualifier, and a bunch of us still can't believe that he was sent out at $7.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was in the air, so I had none of that $7. But look, he's a dog on the up, and he's... I think he's got the potential to reach, the top with the sprinters. So to come up with the red after running the fastest time, he always had to be a massive chance in the race.
Yeah, well, he gives super sire Fernando Bale yet another group winner. And look, this dog's always taken on quality chases. At the beginning of his career, I remember he was a finalist in the launching pad. So, yeah, there's plenty of good times ahead, you would think.
Yeah, and I've seen improvement in the last 3 to 4 weeks, so I'm really confident now that he'll mix it with the good dogs.
Rob, the Million Dollar Chase Series in New South Wales begins next Monday. Are you going to target it?
We've got a couple. We'll give it a go anyway. Not available, I'll probably bring him up, and Slingshot Hammer. We just got to work out how to do it and where to go to qualify. But I'll sit down and try to work that out over the next couple of days.
How long are you in Kansas for, Rob?
Just a week, Dave. Just this quick swap over with my son, and then he's on the way home now, and I'll go back. Come home next Monday.
So you're enjoying a little bit of summer.
It's hot. It's in their terms, it's 95 degrees here today, so it's a hot day. So, I thought I'd enjoy it, but it's too hot for me.
Are you planning to bring any dogs back?
No, not at all this time, Dave. We've got pups getting ready for the auctions here, and so that's why with Tim coming home, we couldn't afford the week off with the dogs. So I'll just keep them working up until the auction's in 6 weeks' time.
Well, enjoy your time in Kansas, Rob. Once again, thanks very much to you and your wife, Mary, for having me at the kennels with the Catching Pen cameras. That feature story is going to be on in the next 2 or 3 weeks, so really looking forward to that. And thanks, as always, for joining us on Going Greyhounds, and congratulations on a fantastic 36 hours.
Good on you. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks very much. Robert Britton, he's such a busy man. He's such a champion trainer, and he always gives us his time, and it's very, very much appreciated. Well, I mentioned that the Australian Greyhound Awards were on Thursday night. The other winners were Tony Brett, who took out the Trainer of the Year, and at midnight he had a birthday. So I believe it was a fairly late night for Tone, so good on to him. The Sire of the Year went to Barsha Bale, so Paul Westerveld and everyone from Meticulous Lodge, congratulations. The Dam of the Year was Aston L, and it was a very emotional time for Shona Thompson and Ray Border, the owner. The Dam of the Year, Aston L. The Run of the Year went to Rockoon after his incredible Group 1 Hume Cup victory, while legendary trainer and administrator Ron Nestor was inducted into the Hall of Fame, along with 1920s greyhound Frances Colleen, who has been described as the mother of Australian greyhounds, and her bloodline continues to produce champion chasers. Well, let's get back to the national championships from Sandown. And in the Group 1 sprint final, Big Flood started favourite from box 2.
Big Flood wasn't great away. Winning the start was West on Augie. He dashed to the lead ahead of Haston. Slowly, Carnley Kenny got a slight check. West on Augie ran to the lead. Threw on the rail to second. Haston slowly. Two to Big Flood. He got to third. Next was Skyway. Very deep out. Shardale from Carnley Kenny. Morris Minor and Buckle Up Rose. West on Augie took over. He's a length in front, but Big Flood's winding up. Haston slowly sticking on the inside. West on Augie leads for home. Haston slowly drives on the inside. West on Augie for Western Australia. Won it. He beat Haston slowly. Third either Carnley Kenny or Big Flood.
It was West on Augie wearing the blue rug, sired by who else? Fernando Bale. West on Augie all of the way in 29-43. And his trainer Chrissy House is on the line. Chris, congratulations. His first split of 5.04 was the perfect foundation for a Group 1 win.
Yeah, no, leading is probably the key at Sandown in those bigger races. And it was pretty exciting when he went to the front. And then, he was under pressure the whole way. So hats off to the dog. He handled all the pressure from the inside and the outside.
Well, it's great to have a dog like that, Chris, because in the majority of his races, he pings the lids.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, it's good. We've had a whole heap of pups over the last couple of years. All because we've been, had a lot of ability, but no box manner. So it's good to get one at the yards, come through the desert and right out the loose and sets up most spaces that he wins.
When Big Flood from box 2 and Morris Minor from the 5 were moderately away, West on Augie got the room he needed, Chris, but Haston slowly from the 3 was eyeballing him all the way. What were you thinking turning for home?
It's really funny. I think it's just a copy of his last few starts, It's like, I think they loom up like they're going to beat him, and then he sort of finds another little bit, and which is like, it's not a bad thing to have, but you like to see him win by a bit more when they go to the front.
And he's not a big unit either, is he? I think he's only about 29 or 30 kilos.
Yeah, no, he rests around the 29 to 29 and a half kilo mark. He's, he's a smallish type dog. A lot of the better ones we've had over the years have been smaller type of dogs too, so he hasn't had any injury problems, touch wood. And, even Regimite, I think he was only about 29, 30 kilo dogs, and Paradise Street and all these dogs from the past of ours, I said, all the real good ones have been not so big dogs. So, I don't complain when they stay sound like that.
Yeah. Well, his win made him the first Western Australian national sprint champion since Prince of Tigers claimed the title at Angle Park in Adelaide in 1997. And Chris, West on Augie went down a similar path, winning the WA Derby on the way.
Yeah, no, he's had a great year. You know, the only downside was the maturity when he fell, but he's had a great year. He's won a Puppy Classic. He's won a little feature race over 490 where he equaled the track record down at Mandurah. He's won a West Chase thing. And, look, he's won quite a few nice races along the way now. And, you know, just I think he's got a group one, two and three now, which is, you know, which is really good for the dog's CV. So, it's good to get a dog that jumps and goes for a change.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, certainly it was a happier time than when he took a tumble in the heats of the maturity at his only other start in Melbourne. But what a night for your fellow owners, Chris, the Westerns, and your partner, Linda Britton. So, look, it was a family affair, Robbie winning the distance and you taking out the sprint, and Jeff Britton's partner, Angela Langton, training the runner-up in the national sprint.
Yeah, look, Linda... It just got back from Melbourne, and it was good to see her go. And like, it was good they all caught up for a few days. And you know, I went over early in the week just for a couple of days and just in the preparation for the race. But it was good to see, like, the Westerns have been long time owners of ours and good friends of all the Britons. And like, it's just been a fairy tale ride for everybody there to sort of get together on that one night. And you know, it was just to see for me watching from home, it was great watching all the faces on TV.
Yeah, Linda was very, very happy. Linda also trained West Onogie's Dam Tiamo, the winner of the Perth Cup consolation, placed in the Sandys Mamum, which must make it even sweeter, Chris.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, the Tiamo was a great little bitch. I think she made the final of the Sapphire Australian Cup, won a Mandurah Cup. You know, she was just a beautiful dog to train, a simple dog to train, and you know, like, and then it's proven she can throw on as well. So, you know, there's bigger and better things, I suppose. She's got a little by Barsha Bale, I think, coming through for connections, and then I think this is just with her Brett Lee. So, yeah, look, hopefully all goes well for him.
Yeah, I'm sure that Tiamo's owner, Michelle Roma, has been in contact, Chris.
Oh, for sure, yeah, no, she's tickled pink, you know, like, that's her pride and joy, that little dog, and she treats it better than any children get treated, to be honest.
Now, have you thought about taking on the million-dollar chase in New South Wales with West Onogie or even next month's Dapto Megastar or the Speedstar?
Look, I dare say that's all going to happen one way or another. I leave that sort of jostling around with the travelling and with the dogs and everything to Linda. You know, it just depends, you know, how it works in with, if the family are all going to a race, it's easier if we're all working together. And so I dare say over the weekend, you know, I'll see Linda today when she just landed, sort of thing. She'll, they've probably nutted out how they're going to do it between them. So, you know, because it's easy if you've got a bit of help doing it along the way from over here.
Well, Chris, I know you're busy with your dogs this morning. I thank you for your time. Congratulations again on West Onogie's win. Western Australia, the pride of the nation in the national sprint. And I look forward to seeing the dog step out again soon.
Yeah, look, hopefully he's over your way. Thanks very much, Dave, for having me.
Thank you, Chris, very much. Chrissy House, champion Western Australian trainer. Speaking of Perth, at Cannington on Saturday night, the Peter Thomas final was won by Crop Duster for Paul Stewart in 29-84. At Dapto on Thursday night, the semi-finals of the Group 3 Dapto Maiden were run, with another grey for Warren Harper dominating for the second week running, clocking 29-91 from box 4, downing lots of diamonds by 8 lengths or 8.5 lengths, with See Me Explode and All About Andy filling the first 4. In the other semi-final, it was the Mark Gatt-trained He's All Shine, which took the honours in 30-31 from box 7. Rocket Jet, Mr. Cashway and My Halo followed. On Friday night, the heats of the Group 2 Blacktop were run at the Gardens in Newcastle. There were 8 heats run, and Set the Storm set the time standard in the final heat for Jody and Pete Lagogiani, clocking 29-27 from box 4 with a first split of 4-87. Jason McKay trained a double in the heat, Sipping Taylor from box 1, 29-39. True Talent from box 2 in 29-46. The other winners were Black Forge, Darren Sultana, box 7, 29-36. Patch Adam for Maxi Rimmer from box two in 29 and 43. About to speak to Max. Keani Velvet for Tom Roach from box six in 29 and 51. Hello Robbo for Eileen Robertson, scoring from the eight in 29 and 53. And the Mark Davidson trained My Gal Penny, which won well from box one in 29 and 61. The final will be run this coming Friday night. The box draw is Zipping Taylor one, Keani Velvet two, True Talent three, My Gal Penny four, Patch Adam five, Set the Storm 6, Hello Robbo 7, Black Forge in 8. The reserves are Caitlin Keeping and Aston Duke. And from tab.com.au, the equal favourites at $3.50, Set the Storm and Black Forge, $4 Zipping Taylor, $4.40 True Talent. If you like Patch Adam, you are getting $12 about it. And as I mentioned, Patch Adam was a heat winner in 29 and 43, and his trainer Max Rimmer is on the line. Max, good morning. It was his first run for 3 months, and he ran a personal best. How does that make you feel?
Oh, very, very well, Dave. Yep, good morning to you too, Dave. Yeah, I actually wasn't even going to put him in, but my wife thought, well, you know what he's like. He doesn't trial real hard sometimes, so if he only ran 29.70 a week ago, and we thought, well, maybe a couple more weeks before he's where he needs to be. But he did run home 12 on that trial. He ran home in 12.12. So we thought, well, we'll just see what happens if he was kidding early, because he went really slow through the middle section. And, well, proved us wrong. Proved me wrong anyway, not me wife. He's on top of the game.
Max,
but it was brilliant.
Patch Adam won a heat of the Peter Mossman last year and a heat of the New Sensation before running third to Chevy King in the final. And look, the dog really had the world at his feet, but unfortunately he fractured a hock at Wentworth Park in June of last year and was out for some 10 months. So it's just remarkable that you've been able to get him back to the track.
Yeah, well, we didn't want to rush him back. So if he come back, he come back. But he was going to give every opportunity to make sure that everything was healed. And it was just, Dave, up to six months, even when I was walking him, I was giving him a fair bit of walk on sand and all that, he'd still pull up every now and again, you know, wanting to have a two-step on that leg. So we just didn't rush until all that seemed to go away. And then his time started to really improve at home there, just running up the 250-metre straight. And he's not real quick early, but he does go pretty good sometimes. So yeah, put him back in, and the very first steward's trial, he ran 51, so we thought, yep, well, that's not too bad. And we sent him round in a week later, and he went and tore his groin, just a small tear. That put him off the track for a few more weeks. Then brought him back and put him in another race. He drifted off the track a bit himself and got stabbed in the back pad. That took another 6 or 8 weeks to fix up, and he really hasn't had that much work leading up to this, so he is pretty fresh. So we'll just see if he's recovered enough to put in another good effort, or we'll all tell on Friday night.
Box five, what are your thoughts on the draw?
Well, we know he's not going to be the quickest out the way they've been going out, like Set the Storm 87 and Zipping Taylor and Camille Velvet, Robbo, Black Forge. They're all getting out in the four, under the fives, you know, like 497s, 496s, and like Peter's dog, Set the Storm 487. And what a run down the back, 17.10. Chaser, matey, is that flying?
It's flying.
So, you know, if it gets out in front and leads, well, everyone's going to have a hard time to run it down. But from box five, they're all experienced dogs. They all get round together and don't knock each other out. And he's there about, he'll definitely get home.
You mentioned flying. Well, your kennels aren't too far from the Williamtown Airport, the Newcastle Airport. And I was reading, Jeff Colliston said that you're on the property formerly owned by the late Ray Brudelin.
Late Ray Brudelin.
Yep, and he was an absolute legend. And
around the Newcastle area, he certainly was. He knew how to train a dog.
Yeah, and Jeff wrote that Gary Robertson said that Ray also had a real influence on him, and of course Eileen Robertson's got a finalist as well.
Yeah, Eileen Robbo's got Hello Robbo, And, Gary actually worked with Ray Breedlin at a place called Casco Coal Sampling Place, and I worked at a different coal sampling place, which was SGS. So I knew Gary before we even got into dogs, just through work. Two different companies, but on the same coal loading facilities.
How good is it that you guys have got a finalist in, the big one every year at Newcastle?
Yes, it is. There's four of us. There's six this year, isn't there?
Yep.
Two from Sydney and six from up this way anyway, and two from round and just very close to me, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's good. And, Newcastle is such a great racing area in every code.
Yeah, in everything. Football, horse racing, trotting, you name it. Up around my place here, there's about three different trotting trainers up here.
Well,
another dog trainer up the road from Gary. There's a heap of dog trainers not far from here that I know about 10 within about a 5 kilometre area from here.
Yep, well, it all converges on the gardens this coming Friday night, Max, and I want to wish you all the very best with Patch Adam. You've got him back to the track. He's in a Group 2 final, and all the very best, and I thank you for joining us on the radio show this morning.
Thank you very much, Dave, and I just hope the gardens get a really big crowd.
I hope so as well. Good on you, Max. There is Max Rimmer, Patch Adam, to jump from box 5 in the final on Friday night at the Garden. So get out to the track. Look, just before we go, I want to congratulate Forbes trainer Ray Smith. He trained a winning treble at Richmond the other night, including one of my favourites, Little Digger. Donna Campbell and Michael Clayton claimed doubles at Nowra. And in news you may know of from Greyhound Racing New South Wales and the state government, they're investing $1.2 million into the Goulburn Greyhound Racing Club, which is going to enable it to install lighting for night meetings. That's great. And Goulburn, of course, have been hosting the Canberra Club meetings as well. Look, that move is part of a $30 million grant program to improve track safety and facilities over the next 5 years. And Greyhound Racing New South Wales has also commissioned PricewaterhouseCoopers to conduct a feasibility study into a new track in the Queanbeyan area. So going ahead, that is excellent news. And the CEO of Greyhound Racing New South Wales, Tony Mestrov, is going to be joining us on The Catching Pen tomorrow evening at 6:30 on Sky Racing 2. Jason Lincoln is out interviewing him as we speak, and you will see that tomorrow evening. Well, Cozzy, I've got a bit of a husky voice. It's not it's not from cheering the mighty Hawthorn Hawks to victory on Saturday night at the SCG. It's definitely not cheering anything to do with the St George Illawarra Dragons. It's just the weather, of course.